From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
10 years after the gruesome killing of Ellen Robb, this neighborhood is still haunted by it. Raphael Robb...
The killing of Ellen Robb in 2006 was one of the most horrific this area has seen in a long time. Ellen's husband, Penn Professor Raphael Robb, was convicted of the crime. A decade later, he was released. But recently, he made news again. And that's when Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Maria Panaritis picked up the story.
I just said to myself, what the heck is going on here?
Why did Raphael Robb's crime reveal cracks in the criminal justice system? And how is this case changing Pennsylvania law? Today on The Why, fixing the law for Ellen. Maria, just give us a little bit of background on the Raphael Robb case, just what happened.
So Raphael Robb in late 2006 was known internationally as a rather significant academic in the area of economics known as game theory. And what was coming out was that his marriage had not been idyllic. While he was this respected, globally known academic from an Ivy League university, she was this doting mother. Behind closed doors, they were sleeping in different beds. There were accounts from the family and from friends that perhaps she was being emotionally and physically abused, but hadn't been very forthcoming about it. She had just consulted a divorce attorney and was, by the account of her brother, whom I spoke with recently, about to leave her husband, finally, when she died.
What happened the night Ellen was killed?
Raphael Robb called police in Upper Marion Township to say that his wife, Ellen, age 49, had been killed. He had found her bloodied in the kitchen of their home. Prosecutors and investigators very quickly suspected, in a matter of just days, that this had to have been somebody who knew the woman who was dead. Within a couple of weeks, he was charged with murder.
Now, a University of Pennsylvania professor is behind bars without bail, and he's charged with her murder. Prosecutors say Raphael Robb's story just doesn't add up.
She was so badly bludgeoned that initially investigators thought that she had been shot in the head. Shotgun blast.
Wow.
Prosecutors say Robb attacked her from behind, crushing her face and skull beyond recognition. The defense claims it was a bungled robbery and that Robb found his wife murdered in their house in Upper Marion.
So he was arrested, and then what happened as he was, you know, going to trial?
They couldn't find the weapon. They had no DNA, no fingerprints, nothing. And it was very difficult to say, oh, well, we found her husband's DNA in the home. He lived there with her.
So they're in this difficult situation where they're trying to prosecute this case. And what do they decide to do?
Because of the lack of any real physical evidence linking the economist to his wife's murder, they instead decide that they're going to try to admit testimony from two experts. And their whole testimony would have been, and this would have been to help corroborate the circumstantial case, that the type of beating that she experienced had to have been highly personal. It had to have been from somebody who knew her. And really, up to the date of trial, it was a tug of war between defense lawyers and prosecutors over whether that could be part of the trial that you could argue triggered the plea that was ultimately offered and accepted by Mr. Robb. Raphael Robb, the morning that the trial was scheduled to begin, pleads guilty to voluntary manslaughter, says he lost it, killed his wife, and that is the very first time that he would admit that he did anything to his wife that day.
And what's his sentence?
He was given 5 to 10.
So 5 to 10 means that he was eligible for parole after 5 years. Did he apply for parole?
He did apply for parole. And after 6, was granted parole. And this so aggravated prosecutors and the family of Ellen Robb that they very publicly revolted and did everything in their power to stop it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, as a result of all of their efforts, they convinced the parole board to rescind the parole. And then following that, they worked jointly with the state legislature to pass a law that would allow families of the deceased to actually personally petition the parole board.
And up to that point in time, the parole board could only take written testimony from family.
And Gary Gregory, Ellen's brother, he worked with a local lawmaker on that.
He was
law,
very right? much at the forefront of that.
And that is, in fact, called Ellen's Law now, right?
Correct. It's okay. Ellen's Law.
It continues her legacy forward. And to my understanding, over 20,000 individuals have already benefited from Ellen's Law. And we've heard from a number of families who have said that this law enabled them to meet directly with the parole board, state their case, and successfully fight early parole of individuals who don't deserve it.
Raphael Robb was eventually released from prison. He served until 2017. He's been out since then. What is his status right now?
So he's living in southwestern Pennsylvania. He was, while still incarcerated, found in a civil trial on behalf of his daughter to have been liable for over $120 million in civil damages for killing her mother.
And that's money that would go to her.
That's money that would ultimately go to her. And so he came out of prison, the settlement of that payment still pending. When I read that he had recently requested approval to travel to Israel, as a columnist, I just said to myself, what the heck is going on here? Israel, mind you, is where he was born. And Israel was where the civil attorneys were concerned he might flee and never come back.
There is no doubt in our mind that if he had left the country, there was a good chance he was never to return.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Inquirer columnist Maria Panaritis about the latest twist in the case of Raphael Robb. So let's back up for a second. Raphael Robb was on probation, which means he's completed his sentence and he's under state supervision, and he couldn't leave Pennsylvania unless he got a temporary travel permit from his probation officer.
He was under state probation oversight. The way that this request went through, nobody was required to be notified at all about Raphael Robb's desire to go to Israel other than the judge in the county where he was prosecuted. Who did that exclude? That excluded his daughter's civil lawyers who were about to bring him to court. That excluded his dead wife's family.
We had no idea.
So what happens?
The request gets kicked to a Montgomery County Common Pleas judge, and it is only because that judge decided on his own to pick up the phone and call the Montgomery County prosecutor and give them a heads up that prosecutors knew that this was happening at the 11th hour and rushed to his courtroom and said, you cannot say yes, we need time.
The judge granted that, and then what happened?
Days later, Raphael Robb withdrew his request to travel to Israel.
If it wasn't for the DA's office getting a last-moment notice, there would have been no objection to his being paroled to go outside of the country.
Maria, do you think that Raphael Robb was trying to go to Israel and not come back?
I don't know. I'm not in Raphael Robb's head. You know, I know that that is a real concern that the civil attorneys had. And it is, as a columnist, in my opinion, just ludicrous, ludicrous, and yet completely unsurprising that this could completely get mangled up legitimately, but appallingly in the state bureaucracy. Ellen's brother even said to me, how is it that there wasn't a gold star on this guy's file anytime anything came up? Hello, this is a huge, huge case that requires a lot of attention.
This guy has committed a heinous act, the most brutal killing in the history of Montgomery County in over half a century. Why would you let him go free? And why wouldn't you know that his going free jeopardizes an obligation he holds to his daughter?
The Office of Victim Advocate told me that she and Ellen's brother are going to now be working to put it into law that if someone on state-supervised probation requests to leave the country, that absolutely the Office of Victim Advocate is notified once that request is made, and then it can flow out to a number of parties that were involved from the get-go in that case, family, prosecutors, etc.
Families need to be notified of these situations in advance, not the DA finding out 30 minutes before a case is to be presented.
And it just creates a really important way to keep key people aware so that justice doesn't just end, justice continues to be weighed.
You've spoken with members of the victim's family. It seems like there are a lot of points here for them to be really, really upset, starting with the simple fact that, you know, that his sentence was 5 to 10 years, then the fact that they weren't alerted that he was granted parole, then the fact that he almost fled the country without their knowledge. I mean, what is their whole feeling about how this has gone down from the state perspective?
Gary Gregory, Ellen's brother, was very emotional when I spoke with him. He cried a lot. You can tell this is a little brother who still really misses his big sister. They're frustrated. They wish that prosecutors had just rolled the dice and gone ahead with a circumstantial case and tried to get him on first-degree murder. But
you could be incredibly dismayed, or you could be, your spirits can be buoyed.
He's kind of on this line between being really angry, but also grateful that there's been a way to channel all of their disappointment toward fixing the law.
We continue our good fight, and that is Ellen's legacy. It's that she has impacted others through her death. And she's not only impacted individuals in the state of Pennsylvania, but well beyond.
And I, as a columnist, again, I can say this, I would hate to have been in their shoes, not only for having lost, you know, their sister in the way that they lost her, but you don't want to have to be the person that fixes the system. You want the system to fix what broke. I would be so angry if I were them.
Thank you so much, Maria. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You can learn more about Gary's foundation, Every Great Reason, at everygreatreason.org. The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. Got a comment? Drop me a line on Twitter, @ Shai Ben-Yaakov. See you tomorrow.